The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by Bar Canada here at the D. It's also the DK Network, of course. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing well.
Yeah?
Our friend the Fly just came by for a visit. I was like, hey, he's back.
Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, that's what I was doing. I was not trying to distract you as we came into the show.
Yeah. By the way, the reason that I stumbled there, I can't hear myself in my ear, so I got to pump that up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why. I apologize for that. On the show today, Will Hill will join us with his Major League Baseball plays, thoughts on football, college, and pro this weekend. Mike Pritchard on the NFL, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, day two of the Wild Card Series, another quadruple header today in baseball. Josh Towers, we're bringing out Josh Towers to talk baseball with us today. Rangers, Rays, Blue Jays, Twins, D-backs, Brewers, Marlins, Phillies, we'll get to it all. And Jay Rude, my old buddy Jay Rude.
Yeah.
He used to be the VP of Racing Sports over at MGM. We'll catch up with him, find out what he's up to. He's got some football thoughts, I'm sure. Maybe he'll tell a story or two. I don't know. And we're going to do adjusted NFL season win totals today.
Win total Wednesdays, baby.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So this is sort of a hallmark of this show over the years has been we've sort of done very well on this. I was in a off the grid. It started at Lehman Brothers. I wasn't at Lehman Brothers, but where this started was at Lehman Brothers back in the day. It was this off the grid. I used to call this NFL stock market thing. So well before books offered adjusted season win totals, so it was most of sports betting history, they offered win totals at the beginning of the year. And then once kickoff of week one happened, you never saw them again. Well, this thing happened in the highest order of Wall Street. It used to be this back room kind of thing that we used to do where it was like a buy sell price every week on NFL teams. And it was the most awesome betting vehicle ever. And now it's all out in the open. Now it's adjusted season win totals every week. I think we were famous for one on the Denver Broncos a couple years ago where, having that background, I sort of noted they won a game they were supposed to and their season win total got adjusted in this ridiculous way. And so I think we came under on them because they got adjusted three games for one win that they were a 7-point favorite on. They won. And so we successfully bet the under. So there's all kinds of things like that. Now, the question becomes, did we find that kind of value today? Mixed results. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah.
Mixed results.
Yeah, mixed results.
But we have some thoughts.
Yeah, definitely some ones worth talking.
Yes, for sure. We have some thoughts for sure. Let's start with those baseball games yesterday because let me just say this, Kelly. I don't know if I happen to take these in at the Aria Sportsbook in the middle of the strip. I don't know if that's a reflection of the interest in these games. It is, after all, just one point in the entire country. But it was kind of like the Rays attendance. The Rays attendance, which was an all-time low yesterday, 19,000 plus. You have to go back to the early part of the 20th century, a Game 7 of a World Series, to have this low of attendance for a postseason game, non-pandemic year. I was one of like four people in the Aria Sportsbook watching these games.
Okay, I got a couple questions on that real quick.
Yeah.
All right, first I saw the headline this morning of lowest attendance at, you know, Major League Baseball playoff game ever, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like,
yada, yada, yada.
Okay, this is not shocking at all. And in my mind, I'm like, what's the number going to be? I'm like, this could be 12, 13,000. I'm like, it was 3 o'clock yesterday at the Trop. Like, you're hard to pull that good of fans later in the day at the Trop. So I don't know. I was actually surprised when I saw that headline that the number was as high as it was.
You were surprised that it was 19,000
yes,
people?
I know it's
19,704 in attendance. Again, the lowest since a Game 7 of the World Series back in 1919 when the Cincinnati Reds were. You remember that game?
Oh, yeah.
When the Reds were hosting that. But it started out. That was the one game where the attendance was bad. The rest of them was great playoff atmosphere in Minnesota, in Milwaukee, in Philly. First of all, Texas gets it done against the Rays. If you had asked me before the day started, like, which club of the eight playing do I think is the most likely to, how can I put this, Kelly, crap the bed? The Rays would not have been high on that list, and yet they did. Four errors. They were throwing the ball all around the yard. late. And it could have been worse, by the way. Texas left 13 on base. They were 2 of 13 with runners in scoring position. Jordan Montgomery, 7 strong, didn't give up an earned run. 6 hits, 5 Ks, no walks against Tyler Glasnow. And Texas wins it 4-0. Siri in center field was particularly odd in his performance. Let's put it that way. So Texas takes the one. These are all, by the way, today you can have 4 eliminations. The Rays, the Jays, the Brewers, and the Marlins all on the brink already today. Game 2, Minnesota got it done. Pablo Lopez over Kevin Gausman. That was a game in which Royce Lewis hit 2 Jimmy Jams to begin the game for the Twins to take a 3-0 lead. They coasted from there. They end up winning that game 3-1. 4-0 was the Rangers final before that. So Minnesota now one game away. By the way, today in the Rangers Rays game, it will be Eovaldi against Eflin. Tampa Bay's a -162 favorite in that American League tilt, with now the Rays +195 on the adjusted series price if you think the Rays are going to come back and win that series. Texas -235 on the series. And Toronto Minnesota game 2 today in the American League day games. Minnesota with Gray is -142 against Berrios, and the Blue Jays, who are +120 coming back. The Twins -370 on the adjusted series price. Remember, these are best of threes. I mean, these could be donezo. All 4 of these could be donezo today. In fact, I wonder if anybody will have that prop up there. Will all 4 of these be done today? I would be willing to.
Oh, I bet someone will. That's a good one.
Because I kind of think it might happen.
What's the game 3 situations? Are they Thursday or Friday?
They're all tomorrow.
Okay.
They're all tomorrow. And then Friday's a day off. And then Saturday, it's another quadruple header.
Oh, nice.
For the division round. So with the teams laying in wait, Baltimore and the Astros and the American League, and of course, the Braves and the Dodgers and the National League for Saturday quadruple header. Sunday, they go to 2. I think the only other quadruple header after that is next Wednesday, which will be 2 game 3s and 2 game 4s in the division round. National League yesterday, the Arizona Diamondbacks are a complete menace. Complete menace. If you had the Milwaukee Brewers in the first 5, like some of us did yesterday, it was a brutal beat. Milwaukee took a 3-0 lead in this game. Tyrone Taylor had a 2-run jack in the bottom of the second to put the Brew Crew up 3-0. By the way, the Brewers had runners at first and second, already 1 run in with nobody out in the first, and that didn't go any further as Fott was able to strike out the side after that. But 3-0, top of the third, Carroll 2-run homer, Marte a solo shot. The game was tied. Then Moreno added a solo home run the top of the fourth to put the D-backs up 4-3, and they never looked back. Though in the bottom of the fifth, Milwaukee had the bases juiced, nobody out, couldn't get anybody home. Terang, Cade, and then Taylor lined into a double play when Thompson came in the game, Ryan Thompson. So it was just brutal if you had the Brewers first 5. Arizona goes on to win it. They added 2 in the ninth, 6-3. Milwaukee today with Freddie Peralta on the hill is a slight favorite, -130 favorite over the Diamondbacks. Zach Gallen +110 on the comeback. Adjusted series price -265 on the D-backs, +220 on the Brewers. And then the nightcap, Miami Marlins, Philadelphia Phillies. That, the raucous atmosphere that we were expecting in Philly yesterday. Zach Wheeler over Jesus Luzardo. Phillies got it done in a big way yesterday. Sort of coasted to that 4-1 win in game 1 of the best of 3. Today it's Aaron Nola against Braxton Garrett. Philly is a -162 favorite on the adjusted series price. The Phillies are -550 and the Marlins are +425. Yeah. So, here's the thing with these baseball games. I ended up betting 3 times yesterday. I went 1-2. I had a And again, these are not like a football or tennis bet. These are much smaller of an outlay for me. And that's why I don't even like conceive of them here this early in the day. But I had a first 5 Rays full game Twins parlay that died with the first 5 on the Rays. Came back with the Twins full game. So that made up for that one. But then the third one was Brewers first 5 with the Phillies full game. And the Brewers first 5 was just the worst with that outcome. Bases juiced, nobody out there. It already coughed up a 3-0 lead. That was brutal. But
my one bet yesterday was the Phillies.
There you go.
Then, of course, I fell asleep on the couch and missed your text messages.
I mean, honestly, I would not be surprised if you saw those same teams win again today. Wouldn't be surprised at all. Phillies just on they're just a better ball club than the Marlins. I think Milwaukee They got to get something out of Freddie Peralta today. Corbin Burns was not good yesterday. And Arizona is just so pesky that you could just see them coming back from anything, which they did yesterday, the 3-run deficit. Minnesota might be the sneaky team in all of this. I was never, as I've talked about on the show, I never understood the Jays' love when you watch them day in and day out. And then that first series is the one, though, like Tampa Bay. That was such a brutal effort from them yesterday. They are not, I mean, they're not a team with power hitters up and down the lineup. Obviously, they lost, you know, one of their biggest players this year in Wander Franco. So they're that much more hamstrung. And so they expect to play. You got to play good defense. You got to, you know, take care of the details. And they didn't yesterday with those four errors. So
four-way parlay plus 1231 over a draft.
There you go. For which? For those four teams?
Yep, those four teams. Diamondbacks,
did you just
Phillies.
Do that parlay yourself, or was
yeah,
that
I
their
just,
own?
I just punched
oh, okay.
It.
Yeah, well, right. Okay. Well, let's see if that happens today. You have any bets on these? No.
Nothing
pre-flop
yeah,
on these.
I think I'm going to take my Phillies win from last night and be happy with it.
That's it? You're retiring on it? I was amazed by that turnout yesterday in the sports book. Maybe I'm wrong for it. Books will tell you their handle is fine. Attendance in Major League Baseball this year was 9% up. I happen to think that's because Baltimore, like these different markets were good this year, right? Baltimore had a good team. Arizona had a good team. So I think that probably lifted it up a little bit.
Aria Sportsbook's got to be tricky, though, right? Like, I love it. It's great in there. I know you go there all the time, but isn't the crowd got to be, like, hit or miss? I would guess some days it's dead and some days it's crowded as hell.
Well, but just let me give you a comparison. Maction on a Wednesday night, a Mac game, a random Mac game, blows away the attendance of what we saw yesterday.
Consistently draws every month, every Wednesday?
Over that quadruple header yesterday. That's what they told
me. The Maction, baby.
That's what they
told
me.
It's the Maction.
NFL adjusted season win totals on the other side. We've got thoughts. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get our all-new NHL betting guide featuring previews for all 32 teams, futures bets, award picks, and season-long props, first period betting strategies, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, plus best bets articles 5 days a week once the season starts. This guide is a must-have with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSiN NHL betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. And ladies and gentlemen, Kelly Bidlin's contribution is this to the NHL hockey.
Connor Bedard. He's great.
Connor Bedard.
75-1 to be your regular season top goal scorer. I just looked it up.
He just shouts it throughout the betting guide. Connor Bedard.
He's going to be a stud. You know what? I get faked out. You got to get the NHL betting guy. Get that now. We got NBA coming out later this week, but working hard on that. You know what blows me away every time you see hockey stuff on the crawl? Hmm. We've brought this up a couple times. We're like, people sign like 8-year extensions and stuff like that. It always blows your mind.
Yeah.
There was a couple yesterday where I think it was like the Ducks leading goal scorer from a year ago. It's like, 21-year-old blah, 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 re-signs with the Ducks, led the team in scoring last year. I'm like, wait, what? Like, at age 20, he led the team in scoring? Like, they're so young. It's just amazing.
It is amazing. 8-year extension. Maybe that's your next deal, is an 8-year extension. You never know.
That's quite a lot of years.
NFL adjusted season win totals. Again, this is a whole new world the last few years. These didn't used to exist. First of all, season win totals. We think that this is, you know, from the birth of Christ that season win totals has existed. No, Jimmy Vaccaro in 1989, some dude in a cowboy hat walked up and was like, the Cowboys were supposed to stink. And he goes, how many games do you think they're going to win this year? Jimmy was like, I don't know. I'll think about it for a little while. He thinks about it. He says 5.5. The guy goes way over. I think he went over. They ended up winning one game that year, 1989. They beat Washington, by the way. Doug Williams started that game for Washington. But that's when season win total started. Adjusted season win totals, the concept of having this go throughout the season week after week, this is like 3 years old in legalized sports betting.
I will never forget the day when I told Gil Alexander that DraftKings had him posted to talk about it.
Oh.
You were like, what? What are you talking about? Yes. They have them posted. We used to do this all the time. I've never seen it legalized anywhere. This is incredible.
For those who listen to the Betting Dork and Beating the Book podcast for years, I used to talk about this. Oh, I've got this off the grid stock market, you know, win totals thing that I do. Okay, so getting right to it. You asked me this question off the cuff yesterday, right? And off the cuff, you're like, oh, what do you think a great adjusted season win total will be? Off the cuff, I said the Arizona Cardinals over 4.5. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was without researching anything.
Yeah.
I still think that's a good answer. I have a couple better ones, okay, though, I think.
All right.
Now, Kelly and I don't usually talk about what we're going to talk about because we like to keep it loose and sort of honest and organic on the show. But it just so happened that before this show, we somehow drifted into both of us doing research on this last night. And it came up that we both came to the same conclusion about the NFC South. What we mean by that is, your instinct is to say, oh, my God, Atlanta Falcons, 9.5. That seems like an under. And you can apply this to different teams in the NFC South. Their schedules are so easy that you can't make a bet on, like, the Falcons, the Saints, or the Buccaneers because those schedules are so pats. Like, they're so easy that your instinct to go under, while they may still happen, you're just like, I don't know. Like, it's just what's the opposite of a gauntlet? Whatever that is. It's just like every week is
easy. Cakewalk.
Yeah, cakewalk. There you go. Now, I will make this one exception, and this is one of the ones that I like better than the Arizona Cardinals. The Panthers to the under. I'm the guy with the Panthers winless, right? The Panthers to the under is still something that I think you have to consider. What's the Panthers number? 4.5, is it, right now?
Yeah, 4.5 right now. I don't know about you, but if you...
How are you getting 5 wins?
It's going to be tough.
How are you getting 5 wins on that schedule? I mean,
unless Bryce Young starts looking like a completely different... I don't even want to put it all on him. Like, who would have... Nobody would have guessed that Adam Thielen would be by far their best wide receiver because nobody else can get any separation whatsoever. And Bryce Young, when he's in there, is struggling massively. There's issues on this offensive line. I expected the defense to be better. It's not.
At Detroit, at Miami, bye. Okay. I think you're 0-for there. And then you get, here's the rest of your year. Can you get 5 wins out of this? Home Houston, home Indianapolis, at Chicago. Okay. Let's even give them 2 there.
Okay.
Home Dallas, at Tennessee, at Tampa, at New Orleans, home Atlanta, home Green Bay, at Jacksonville, at Tampa Bay. Could you? You could, but I think the instinct has to be under.
I think so too, but it just goes back to the whole NFC South conversation of I'm not super confident
it
in
is an easy schedule.
Teams.
It's a super easy schedule.
Like, could they pick one or two of those off?
Now, here's the real answer to the question. So those are just like Arizona's off the cuff. Carolina's just on a perusal thing where you're like, oh, those seem like they're great adjusted season win totals. Arizona to the over, Carolina to the under. But the way to really do this is to see where the market improperly adjusted or did not adjust. And so from last week to this week, the team that sort of raises, you know, a flare, sort of makes you, what's the expression, lift your eyebrow or raise your eyebrows about is, and this is not going to be sexy to some people, the Tennessee Titans were 8.5 last week. They end up beating the Cincinnati Bengals badly as a dog, by the way, and they're still at 8.5. The Tennessee Titans, and by the way, the over and plus money, the over is still plus money on the Tennessee Titans. So for me, the answer to this question, where the best value actually lies, forget about my off-the-cuff opinions about the Cardinals over and the Panthers under, is actually Titans to the over, who are currently 2-2, and their adjusted season win total is 8.5, because it did not get adjusted from last week when they were an underdog to the Cincinnati Bengals. And if you go to the Titans, to their schedule right here, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, God, Titans over. I don't want to live through that. Hey, I didn't say this was going to be fun.
That's me.
But if you go to the Titans schedule, the games before their bye, at Indianapolis, home Baltimore, home Atlanta at Pittsburgh right after the bye. Should we give them a 2-2 there?
At least, yeah.
Right, let's give them a 2-2. Let's be conservative.
Yeah, I'm about as big of a Titans hater as it gets, and I'll give them 2-2.
Okay, so that's 4-4. Let's go to the next 4 games. At Tampa, at Jacksonville, home Carolina, home Indianapolis. I mean, that's a 2-2 at worst, it feels
two
like.
2-2 there.
All right, so that's 6-6. They only got to win three more in their last five. At Miami, home Houston, home Seattle, at Houston. So there's two Houston games in there. And then home Jacksonville to close it out. Based on the lack of adjustment in the adjusted season win total market, I think the answer to the question is the Tennessee Titans over. Because there's no reason why that number should have stayed at 8.5 after beating the Bengals. Your thoughts, sir?
Okay. That was not one I picked up on. Yeah. Not one that jumped out to me, but...
But that is the way to do this, right? Look at what the numbers were last week. Figure out what appropriately adjusted, what did not, and then go from there.
Yeah, I think that the two of the teams that I isolated, they are two teams that I bet unders on already this season. And the numbers just really haven't moved a whole lot through four games, where I think the perception of what I had about these teams before the season has played out much more in reality. It's the Patriots and the Steelers. So you're looking at win totals for both of those teams. Patriots set at 7.5, Steelers set at 8.5. That's right about where they were preseason. And the Steelers are having all kinds of offensive problems. Both these teams having all kinds of offensive problems. The defenses haven't looked bad, but you just start, you know, bringing up the schedules, and it's trying to figure out where each one of these teams is going to get seven more wins. And it's just, it's tough. I mean, Patriots, you've got Saints at home, on the road at the Raiders, Bills at home, on the road at the Dolphins. That's 2-2 at best to me, Gil. You got home against the Commanders, home against the Colts, at the Giants, home against the Chargers, at the Steelers, home against Chiefs, at the Broncos, at the Bills, Jets at home. It's hard for me to come up with seven more wins on that schedule to get over 7.5. And it's basically the same thing with the Steelers. So I'm being pretty boring here because I'm going back to two that I played already. So I'm not going to be adding on here. I did say, since we're both betting the Cardinals this week, I think Cardinals over 4.5.
Yep.
Betting it this week is so correlated.
Because I think they might win that game.
You almost have to play that.
I had the same reaction though to the two that I had pre-flop. So I had the Giants alternate low under 6.5 at +185. Well, they're 5.5 now.
Right, yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and be like, hey, Giants 5.5. I have got it way better 4 weeks ago at plus money at an even higher number. And then with Washington, I had the alternate win total on higher on the over, which was 7.5. It's still 7.5, but my over 7.5 is +190. So that number is not nearly as good as it was then. Do I think it's probably still good? Yeah, but it's not a bet because, again, it's not the big bang for your buck.
No, I hear you. But if I hadn't, I don't know about you, if I hadn't bet Pittsburgh and New England unders before the season, I would be betting.
You would still be. Yeah. You would still do it. Okay. It's fascinating to look at. Each and every week, these are adjusted. And as the runway gets shorter, the value, which is already pretty sparse, to be honest with you, will dwindle even further. We'll come back. Will Hill, all of his baseball bets today, college football, pro football, all his thoughts, and his wagers on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. Kelly, what would you like to say about Zyn nicotine pouches? Anything? Huh? Anything? Anything leap to mind?
Hey, if you're looking to quit smoking.
Yes.
Papa Zyn.
Listen, we're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. A warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Still to come, Kelly and I will talk NFL power rankings as well. One other thing, addendum to the NFL season win totals, adjusted season win totals discussion we had, is that, you know, before the season started, we said, like in the case of the Jets, with their six-game gauntlet to begin the season, and the Giants had a really tough schedule at the beginning as well, you know, you could wait till after those games and then fire on the over because it'll be a depressed price if they have this bad record, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But what you will find, and this is no breaking news to anybody, is that, and we see this in Survivor from week to week, you'll try to map out your Survivor, and then your thoughts about everything will change within 1 week or 2 weeks. Like, well, I thought that team was terrible. Now they're not so terrible. This takes out this game. So doing that can work, like waiting to a certain point in the season and then, you know, picking your spot. but you're gonna have to be okay with letting it go if it doesn't manifest.
You just hit on it. Because it's like live betting, right? The comparison to Survivor is you're already invested. You're not invested yet if you're waiting on something to happen. So you have to be okay with not playing it. The only other one I was going to bring up was exactly that situation is the Cleveland Browns. The only over I'd look at adjusted season win totals is an over on Cleveland, but they're on bye this week and they get San Francisco next week. So I would be waiting till after that Niners game, give Deshaun Watson's shoulder a couple weeks to heal, then I think it's possibly a look at the over. But you're right, got to be okay with not playing.
Just don't get locked into your preconceived notion of it. Will Hill joins us, everybody. He is the star of the Megapod and, of course, a little something called the Bear Bets Pod over at Fox, which he does NFL and college football work for, Chris Felica's podcast, and wrote a great piece at foxsports.com about the Major League Baseball postseason. It's Will Hill, everybody. How you doing, Will?
Thank you, Gil. Appreciate it. What's going on, guys? It's a fun time of the year. What, 8 hours of baseball yesterday? We got another 8 hours today, so some elimination games, and I love it, man. It's fun.
This is why I love you, because you're one of these people like myself who's you still love baseball. And with all its warts through the years, obviously the pitch clock change was huge this year for everybody watching this game. These games are so much more palatable now, but you still love it as much as ever. Would you like to give away? I mean, I guess we want to have people go to the article that you wrote, but it was about the best value futures bet. Should we give that away here, or should we get people to go look at it?
Sure. No, we can give a little away. By the way, I'm a complete hypocrite because I hate the fact that all these teams get into the playoffs, but as soon as the games start, I'm so excited to watch them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a fun exercise. It was just counting down basically from 12 to 1, worst value, best value in terms of the futures. Now, again, I mean, we realized this deep in the game, there's not a ton of value on any of these. They're not giving away any gifts, but it was just a fun thought exercise to sort how you feel about these teams and just put things in perspective. And when I went through it, I think the one thing I learned, I guess, how much pitching issues all these teams have. Mm-hmm. I mean, Baltimore doesn't have great pitching. Texas is missing a million pitchers. Even the favorites like Atlanta, the Dodgers, have a million guys at the top of the rotation that are hurt. Houston's guys, Verlander, Valdez haven't been hurt. So I settled on Minnesota at 20 to 1. Of course, that was before yesterday, so it's moved a little bit. I just think their pitching's really good when you talk, Lopez, Sonny Gray, Ryan, and they have a good bullpen, a diverse bullpen with Maeda coming out of the bullpen to throw multiple innings. Chris Paddock, remember, was a stud a few years ago with the Padres. He's back off an injury, and he's in the Twins bullpen. And of course, Duran throws the ball, 109 miles an hour. So I like Minnesota. I think they're, a little bit of a sleeping giant here. I know they've been awful in the playoffs. The Central in general in both leagues has been bad in the playoffs, but I think that's why you get a little value with Minnesota.
Yeah, you made a great point. You made a great point in there too, which I don't want to get glossed over, which is, you can, I hate this expanded playoffs, and then the second it starts, you're like all in. You're so excited. Same thing will apply to college football when it goes to 12. You're not necessarily a fan of expanded 12, but as soon as those games hit, man, you're like, more football, let's bet. So, yeah, we can cry about that as much as we want if you're on the other side of these expanded postseasons. You had Minnesota yesterday. Do you have them today?
I haven't bet them yet today because I do have them for the series, too. I do think they win today. I just don't know. Like, I got them at plus 110 to win the series. Do I want to double dip and have them for today and for the series? I probably will. I do think they win today. It's interesting. Barrios going against his old team. That was a blockbuster trade a couple of summers ago, and Barrios was really good when he was on the Twins and got traded, and he hasn't been great since.
Nope.
That's a tough spot for Toronto on the road today. That's going to be a crazy environment. Of course, they haven't had a lot of postseason success, Minnesota. They got a chance to advance. Ray's been really good. I do think Minnesota gets it done today. I don't know if you want to get to the other games.
Yeah,
I think
please.
The one game I did bet, I think Tampa forces a game three. Eovaldi's been awful. He missed 6 weeks, end of July, all of August. Since he's come back, 6 or 7 starts. It's like 19 innings, 21 runs allowed. He's gotten hammered. I would expect Tampa to be a little more buttoned up yesterday. That was, like you said, surprising of all the teams to just fall on their face. You don't expect that from Tampa. So I do think Tampa hits Eovaldi, another former a guy going against his former team, Eovaldi, the former Ray. I think they hit Eovaldi. I think we get a game three there. I don't know if we get game threes in the other ones. That's as bad a loss as you can have if you're Milwaukee. You're up 3-0. You're home. You have your ace on the mound, and you're going against a kid in Fott that was, he spent half the year in the minors, and to let that game get away with Gowan on deck. I mean, that was one you had to get. And brutal. Arizona, I think they can come in. They come into the playoffs anyway with house money. They weren't expected to be here. They're young. They don't know any better. Now they stole this game yesterday. They can come in free and easy and just play their game. So I do think Arizona kind of wins today. I think there's value on Gowan over 4.5 Ks and over 15.5 outs recorded, because you know, this is an interesting discussion with these teams, some of them facing elimination. There's probably some value in these outs markets, strikeouts markets, where there's a shorter leash. But Gowan's not going to have a short leash. They're not facing elimination. He's their ace. If it gets away from him early, you know what? They have tomorrow. So I think they'll let Gowan go a little bit. So I like his over outs, his over strikeouts. But those are interesting markets. And I do think Philly's just better. I don't trust Nola as much as I do Wheeler. I was surprised. I was texting you guys yesterday. I was surprised as many people bet Miami, liked Miami. I think people were so spooked by all their one-run wins. It was like, hey, if I can't beat them, I'm going to join them. I thought Wheeler was really cheap yesterday. I don't trust Nola as much. Nola's sort of my, you mentioned your Irvin Santana. I think it's your guy that just you can't figure out. Nola's like that for me. But I do think Philly's just much better. That's a good home field. So I had to guess today, right now, I'd say we get a game three in Texas Tampa, and I think the other three close it out.
Yeah, you're so right about the Diamondbacks, who have it set up now with Gallen in game two and Kelly in game three. So that was absolutely a disastrous loss for the Brewers yesterday, who are already without Brandon Woodruff now. But your greatest point in there, I think it needs to be repeated, which is, yeah, with four teams on the brink, the leash ought to be short for all but perhaps not Gallen with the Diamondbacks. He, after all, being their ace. So bet accordingly, prop-wise, in that vein. What about the NFL? Week number 5 in the National Football League. What did you land on? A little Megapod preview here.
I'm finding it harder and harder to find sides I like. I did agree completely. The one side I bet is Arizona +3. I just don't get it. I watched the games. Arizona's feisty. They're good. I've got all sorts of underseason wins. I got them actually under 5.5 back in the spring, I think. I'm going to have to sweat that one out. This team plays hard. They were in that game against San Francisco the other day. Almost said San Fran. I caught myself. Well, I mean, they were down 5 going for 2 to cut it to 3. They end up not covering the big number, with a couple of drops, but they could easily be 4-0 against the spread. They can easily be like 3-1 straight up. This is a feisty team. Dobbs is decent. The defense plays hard. You know, we all made fun of Gannon, but to me, since he's just a mess right now, I'm getting 3. I'm home. I like the Cardinals here.
100%. Couldn't agree with that more. It is painted 3 everywhere. I got it at 4 earlier in the week. Couldn't believe that was the number on guessing lines. Besides that, what do you think you like here? And you don't have to, even if it's not in pocket yet, what are you looking at?
I bet some season win totals. I took over 12.5 on the 49ers. It's not super scientific, but is somebody beating that team 5 times? That team's going to lose 5 games? I don't think so. What are they, 4-0 now? So they've got to go 9-4. The rest of the way here, that seems very doable to me.
I looked at that. It is a tough schedule, but I'm with you. It is. 5 times is a lot. Yeah.
It's a tough schedule when you got to play the 49ers, though. It's a tough schedule for the other team. It is. That's a really good team. So I do like over for the 49ers. I'm going to double dip on the Giants under 5.5. I don't know if they can keep Jones healthy. I mean, he gets hit so much. That team is so limited in terms of the defense, the receivers, the offensive line. They still have to play at Dallas. They have to play the Eagles twice. I mean, that team's going to get to 6 wins. I know it's juiced to the under, but I still like the under of the Giants.
Yeah, if nothing else, this discussion about adjusted wins, season win totals, which Kelly and I had last segment we're having now, ought to be another reminder before next year that the adjusted season win total market pre-flop is the greatest football betting vehicle there is.
Absolutely.
Because these teams end up so far below or under. All you have to do is look at a final NFL standings and then juxtapose it against the pre-flop season win total market at the beginning of the season. It's incredible. And here we are 4 weeks into the season and you're already in favorable positions with some of those. So yeah, for sure. Will, at not the Will Hill, what's the Gold Boys plug?
Gold Boys Discord, Bear Bets Podcast, Megapod, FoxSports.com. Check out my column. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Bear Bets Pod, Will Hill. Thank you, Will. And of course, on the Megapod tomorrow, the guest will be Eric Eager. We'll come back. NFL Power Rankings next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. That's promo code VEGAS. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin from Bar Canada at the D doing a numbers game here. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Anthony A. Periello. Hope I pronounced that okay. PSA, looks like the BetMGM Sports app is now part of the hack. Accounts being locked out and drained. All kinds of reports this morning. Las Vegas locally was on this. I have people I know who have texted me. They're like, I can't get into my account.
This is one of
it's bad. Dude.
This is one of those because you did it to me this morning. Text your friends. Be a friend.
Text your friends.
Be a pal.
Text your friends.
Help someone out today. There's no problem with taking money out of an account and putting it back in 2 weeks later or whatever. Once you know this thing has gotten cleaned up.
And also Caesars, I just want to say this for the 5,000th time, please. Your app is horrible enough. Now we have an extra layer at the top we got to go through again that changed. Or, I don't know, maybe I'm talking to the hackers. No. Maybe the hackers changed it. I don't know.
I thought that was just like a one-time thing yesterday. Is that every time now?
Oh, no. I'm like, what are we doing?
I'm sure it isn't. I'm sure it's in response to the hackers.
Oh, maybe that's...
I would guess it is.
But it's like, Fezzik has the best line about this. If you told me that they were doing things to prevent people from betting, I would believe you better than I would actually getting people to bet.
It's just so tough because they're one of the few shops in town that have the, like, live numbers are up always, right? They're doing algorithm-based live betting. They're always up. So they're one of the first shops you want to say, oh, let me jump to them right away because I know the number will be up. Well, that's a great thought, but if it takes you 5 minutes to get there because of activation codes and face ID, and then it's going to spin around and kick you out.
Like a college football Saturday, you can't bet in game. Like, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible. After a while, you don't even try anymore. You're like, there's no point in doing this. And Eric Biggio, we love you. But
we do. Yeah. Thanks for tweeting the show. I mean, the other thing, they changed the teasers too. If I need to post another teaser tutorial video on my Twitter, I will, but I guess just tweet at me if you have an issue with that.
You should not need to have a teaser tutorial. This is from good friend Shillionaire. Oh, I like that. So the opposite of a gauntlet is a buffet. Also, what's the promo code again? Okay. Titans Insider.
A-N-G.
A-N-G. Titans Insider. I bet he liked that Titans segment. He goes, yeah, now you're talking my language. Titans 10 wins, baby. He said Titans up. Nevada Azer. Agree on the Titans. Potential for a surprising divisional result as their competitors are underperforming. Vrabel Coach of the Year, 35-1, he says, is a play. Hmm. D-Gen Southern Gen.
Oh, boy. You're starting up the Titans hype train again.
No, I didn't mean to. I'm just saying.
This defense sucks.
Yeah, I did not mean to start up the hype train. D-Gen Southern Gent. Clearly, Kelly has not seen the Mel Brooks classic History of the World Part 1 that Fezzik mentioned on Monday. One of the lost commandments on Moses' broken tablet read, Coach Tomlin shalt not have a losing season, he says. That's exactly right.
I have seen that, too.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do some NFL power rankings.
Boom.
With this big intro. NFL Power Rankings.
Plug it in and power it up. Plug NFL it in. Power Rankings. I know. There we go.
There we go. 107.5 The Bone. Sorry. It just came out.
NBA Media Days, by the way. So many great little nuggets that come out of everyone. Go check out the Trey Murphy video of him having to record radio liners.
Oh.
Because it is one of those, like, as someone's been, NBA Media Days, it's one of those uncomfortable things you have to do every year where it's like, hey, like, Dwayne Wade, I need you. Can you read, like, these eight things after we get done interviewing?
Oh, it's so, yeah.
And it's like, catch this afternoon show, blah, 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 blah. Trey Murphy does one of those. It's for one of those radio networks that has all the different, like, they have a country station. They have a hip-hop station, right? He goes into character for every single one, and it is fantastic.
We used to have to do that when I was in R&B radio. And by the way, I got my Tony ticket last night. Just want to, who amongst us hasn't? But we used to have to do those promos with all these like one-hit wonders. There's this guy.
Because someone would come into the studio for an interview, or you'd book someone for an interview, and then afterward you ask them to record a few liners. That's how it works in the business.
It was like a music video days. He'd be like, hey, I'm Keith Washington. There's a guy, one hit wonder, Keith Washington, a song, Slow Jam, called Kissing You. But Keith Washington had to come in and do, hey, I'm Keith Washington, I'm a music video connection, or whatever it was. When I tell you he did it 26 times before he got it right, I am probably not exaggerating. So So
that's usually how they go.
It's like, Keith, it's just 1 cent. Let's get through it. All right. The reason we do NFL, what are we doing? Oh, NFL power rankings.
Yeah, sorry,
the reason we do NFL power rankings, again, for those who are like, why do we care what your power rankings are? Everybody should do this in some fashion, whether you couch it as power rankings, whether it is your actual numerical ratings done by a model or anything in between. It serves as just a good sort of foundation for your NFL picks, much like guessing lines is a great way to start your week. This is a great way to sort of, and I said this last week, Kelly, it's a sort of good way to check your recency bias. If a team has a terrible performance 1 week, rather than you immediately toggling to, oh my God, this team is terrible, the power rankings sort of helps you keep it in check in context where you're like, oh, I can't really knock them down that far. They're still a good team. It just gives you that kind of reminder.
Yes, agreed.
Not much change at the top. None at the very top for me. 49ers are 1, Chiefs are 2, Eagles are 3. The Bills, Dolphins, and Cowboys are doing a little dance in 4, 5, 6, and the dance has the Bills at 4 now, the Dolphins at 5, and the Cowboys at 6. They could go either way on those.
Yeah.
I think the Bills deserve to be ahead of the Dolphins, though, that's for sure. At this
point. Definitely. And we had the conversation last week where was there a top 5, and then was there a top 6 with the Bills? And yes, I think there is.
I think there's a top 6. For sure there's a top 6. Now, the Ravens are my 7. The Ravens have been in my top 10 the whole year. They do nothing but figure out a way to win. And Drew Dinsick, I thought, had a great point yesterday on the show, which is how some of these teams, like the Seahawks on Monday night, are able to overcome cluster injuries.
Yeah. The Ravens are so banged up.
The Ravens are so banged up, and yet they just keep them coming. Keaton Mitchell, for you fantasy players out there, that's their rookie running back that they want to feed this week. So Keaton Mitchell is a guy that they showcased in the preseason. They just have him. They just keep coming up with players. Owen Wright still sitting on the practice squad. He'll come up next. I got the Ravens at 7. I got the Seahawks at 8. I think I've had the Seahawks almost every week in my top 10. I think every week but one. They're number 8. To me, they're still super solid. And I know people are going to gasp. I have the Chargers at 9. I know they're only 2-2. I know we like to make fun of them. But talent-wise and just what they could be, they're still 9 to me. I do have the Browns at 10. I know they got crushed, but it wasn't Deshaun Watson. So I didn't, like, completely penalize them for that.
Yeah.
So they remained
starting quarterback
10.
Wasn't playing. Yeah.
So can I tell you who my 11 was? My 11 was, now I'm forgetting it, it was not Detroit. My 11 would have surprised. Okay. Oh, my 11 was the Rams. So,
Yeah, well, you had them, I think, a couple weeks ago in the top, 10 or 9 or 10. Yeah.
The interesting question becomes, where do you put the Cardinals? Are they top half or are they bottom half?
That's great. I was going to make a joke about being top 10 as you were setting up that intro. But I'm going to start with my 10th team here because it is the, I think you just laid it out so well for the Chargers, where you hit a point where you're doing these, where especially it's a little bit earlier in the season, where you hit a point where you have to just judge some of these teams based on what your overall thoughts are of the talent of the roster.
Yes.
And there's not so many teams that you can put ahead of them.
If not them, then who?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So they are who I put at 10. I did consider the Seahawks. Seahawks would be right there, 10, 11. But it was even that conversation in my head. I'm like, well, I think the Chargers have a more talented team than Seattle. So I put them 10. Lions remain 9 for me this week.
Yeah, they were 12 for me.
Yep. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Browns dropped down a spot for me to 8, but yeah, I'm not going to. That is more because of other teams rising than them really falling. I'm not punishing them too much for losing a game without their starting quarterback. Ravens up to 7 for me, so 7. We have the same, top 7 teams, just in different orders.
Yep.
So 7 for me for Ravens. And me and you have had them both 7 for, I think, 2 or 3 straight weeks now. Like, it feels like that's exactly where they belong. Until one or two things happen, right? Either they get all these guys back and they start looking even better than they have, or they start losing some games badly, maybe partially because of injuries, and we have to downgrade them a bit. Dolphins go to 6 to me. Eagles slide down to 5. I'm just a little bit more confident with those two other NFC teams right now, Guild, 49ers and Cowboys. Chiefs to 4. I'm not trying to punish them, but still haven't seen a game out of them where it feels like they've put every single thing together outside of that Chicago game, and I'm not putting much weight into that. Cowboys up to 3. Still think there's a lot of talent on that team, and Bills, I just can't deny it anymore right now. What they look like offensively and defensively, the way they've changed this offense personnel-wise with the two tight end set, that could be a major difference this year. So I'm vaulting them up to two. Love me some Josh Allen. 49ers number one. I think they got to be number one right
now. Yeah, I had Bills at four, but they could just as easily be three or two also. Where did you have the Seahawks?
Seahawks would be right at 11.
Right at 11.
That's where I was kind of making that Chargers-Seahawks like in my head.
And who is your 32?
Oh, got to be Panthers.
Panthers.
Got to be.
Without question, it's the Panthers. Yeah, to me. And I know a lot of people are like, what do you mean without question? What about the Bears? I think it's the Panthers for sure, 32. Mm-hmm. Mike Pritchard will join us on the other side to talk NFL. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke to talk baseball. Josh Towers on baseball. And, of course, Jay Rude will join us as well. Talk about where he is in the industry these days. Tell some stories. DK Network, Dan Le Batard is next. We're coming back at the Sports Betting Network.